Okay, it's 9:30. Why don't we kick it off and then we'll just go from here. I would like to just start with some praise this morning before we pray. A wonderful habit to become a people of praise when we see the people all throughout the scripture. They're full of praise to who God is, of who God is. Right. And so I think this has helped you guys. I don't like to make a big routine of it every time. But I think it's a good if we could build this as part of our DNA of our church, to be a people of praise. So I give you some words to help start you off. Oh Lord, I want to praise you this morning because you are. Go ahead and say the whole phrase. Oh Lord, I want to praise you this morning. So think about that. Think about our God this morning. And what part of who God is that means something to you. You want to praise him for that. Doesn't have to be over spiritual. Just shout it out. Let's be a people of praise. Direct our attention to him. Turn off
Lord, I
your.
want to praise you this morning as you are the Savior of souls.
The Savior of souls, yes. Yep, take yourself off mute and let's hear it.
Lord, oh Lord, I want to praise you this morning because you are holy and almighty, and you are close to us.
Close to us, good.
Oh Lord, I want to praise you this morning because you are a friend. You're a friend to us.
I want to praise Lord for your protection. Because of your protection, we are still here safely. And yeah.
Good protection. All right, a few more. How about some of you younger folks? Or anyone?
Oh Lord, I want to praise you this morning because you are good.
Good.
You are a caring God, and we are not worthy, but you save us from our sins.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning. I know that if I opened the floor for prayer requests, there would be many. I know, Lord, and I believe that in every one of our lives we face circumstances or times during every single day or every single week where it gets rough, Lord. There are times when we don't even know what's happening around us, but we may not feel as if things are going our way. But Lord, it is a privilege. It is a wonderful habit if we develop the characteristic of being a people of praise, because we can, in the midst of those, look to you and who you are. And even as our brothers and sisters said, Lord, you are holy, you are mighty, you are awesome, you are also our friend. And Lord, you are good. Even when we are unworthy of such goodness, you have made us worthy because of our faith in Christ. We are the recipients of not just your saving grace, we are the recipients of your love so that we can have a relationship with you. And so this morning, we do have so many reasons to praise you, and we want to turn our eyes up We want to look upwards. And as we study your word, we pray that you would speak to each of us into the places where we need to hear your word. And we ask that you stir within us a heart of worship, a heart of praise, a heart that is tuned into you. And so, Father, use this Sunday school, and I pray for all the other Sunday schools that are meeting this morning. The church next door, that I could hear them earlier as they're singing and warming up, and as they're going to offer up their worship to you this morning. Lord, be with all of our Sunday schools, be with all of the other churches meeting this morning. Lord, we can just envision all the people around the world on this day lifting up their hearts, their voices, their hands, as your people all around the world offer up praise and worship to our King. So we thank you, Father, for that, and give us that picture. And we join together with all the saints this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we are on our second iteration, revisiting of Light of the World. Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of a review of some things that we talked about last week, and then we're going to press on and finish this and then move on into the next text next week. Can I have a volunteer read this for us this morning? If you would be so willing, can you read it with some meaning?
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven.
All right, thank you, brother. This is right in the right following the Beatitudes. So hopefully, you know, I just stuck it here so you could see where it falls in context of Jesus's comments, his proclamation to his people. Last week, these are the three things, and I just reordered them in the way that we had captured them. These are the comments that the inferences, the things that we see in just this first seven words: you are the light, you are the light of the world. And we can have a few takeaways from this. Last week we said we recognize that the world is in darkness. If you are the light of the world is in darkness. We also notice that if you are the light of the world, you and you alone, and this is speaking to you, any of you here who have Christ, Christians are the light of the world. But we also know that there is no light in the world except the light of Christ. Jesus says himself, I am the light of the world. We see that in John chapter 8. But here in Matthew 5, he says, you are the light of the world, right? So these are a few inferences that we get from this. And as I thought about this, it's kind of interesting. I didn't necessarily mean to do this, but you know, since I was going on one more week, you can see that these inferences from this very first phrase show us a diagnostic of the world, right? A diagnosis, right? Jesus being the all-knowing God is declaring something that is true in this world. So there's a diagnosis of the world. And we also see that this phrase that Jesus declares upon his people is a statement of our identity. Right, so we see a diagnosis, and we see a statement of our identity. The diagnosis is that the world is in darkness, and the identity statement is that we are the people who bring the light. Right? We are the people who bring the light. So we see this. Last week, when we asked a question towards the end, I like this. We were saying, what is the effect of light? What is the effect of light? And I think it's good, you know, that we can play around sometimes with these discussions. We don't want to stretch it too far, you know. We can always do that, you know. But the effect of light is actually quite simple, and I really like. I don't know if Bob Chang is on the call, but he was one of the first. And I went back to listen to this recording just to find this section. And Bob made the comment. Our brother said, light is needed because of the darkness. And he said, light exposes the darkness. And I said, well, that's a very spiritual comment, Bob. But I like that. Light exposes. And then another brother or sister said, light illuminates the darkness, right? So light brings light. It's very simple. If you're sitting in darkness, you need light to be able to see what you're doing. So it's a very simple concept. What is the effect of light? You know, I mean, we can talk, I think we talked about UV rays and, you know, has a lot of these other properties, but most simply light brings light. It brings light to the darkness. Here's a few other things people said. Light lets you see in the darkness. Someone said, light lets you not trip, right? So because you have light, you don't fall in the darkness. And then I love that I don't know who said it. I couldn't identify the voice, but someone said, light gives life. Yes, light gives life. And someone mentioned photosynthesis. And so this was our recap. This is where we ended last week. Light is needed in the darkness. So if the world is in darkness, the world needs light. Very simple, very deep, but very simple. It's as simple as Jesus's other identity statement to us that you are salt. That means the inference of that is that the world is decaying. The world doesn't have flavor. The world needs the cleansing preservative properties of salt, right? So in the same way here, the world is dark. It needs light. You are the light. And us knowing that Jesus himself is the source of light, then like the moon analogy last week, then I wanted to say, you have been lit up, right? You are lit up. If you are a Christian today in this call, you have Christ and I almost called Bex mommy. But mommy and I, Bex and I were talking with a sister yesterday and we said that people who have new life, you just know it. You know it. You know it. And we were speaking to this this person yesterday, and I won't go into the details. I don't even see who's on the call, so I'm just going to be careful here. We were talking to someone yesterday and we just said, you know, when you talk with someone who has new life, you have this connection. You know that there's new life. It's interesting because at prayer meeting on Thursday, I'm just going to go on a tangent for a second. On Thursday, someone asked for prayer for our youth group. And it was just one of the older sisters of our church. And she said, we really need to pray for our youth group because it is a great ministry to be able to work with the youth. But she says, we need to really pray for them. and pray specifically that they would be saved, and that in their youth, in this young age, they would know Christ, and they would, that God would give them new life. And I love that prayer because it's so true. There's no other ministry in the church. I feel so honored to always work with the youth. I think there's going to be a day when I don't get to work with youth, because, you know, there's other places in the church that I also need to serve and be a part of. But I know there's a day when I'm not going to be working with the youth, but there's something so special about the youth because there's almost no group where so often you see someone come out of the darkness and come into the light. Like, there's no other ministry where you get to see it so often. Like I do. I just feel like I get this privilege of presenting the gospel in different aspects. And over the course of the year, there's almost not one year that goes by where I don't get to see, or the counselors get to see, a young person come from out of the darkness into light, where they are dead and now they are alive, where they were someone who does not have new life, and then all of a sudden they have new life. Youth work is one of the most phenomenal ministries. If you ever have the chance to say yes and work in youth, you get to see that. And you start to have conversations with youth where literally a year ago, you remember nothing was clicking, nothing was clicking. And then all of a sudden, like, I mean, they are a person, right? They are physically and humanly alive, but there's no life of Christ in them. You can pray. They might even say the words because they grew up in church. They can say words. They can say the phrases. They know the story. They might even know how to say the words of a prayer. There's a word, you know, that I use. You know, they're not tracking with the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Spirit in them. So they're saying phrases, you know, in small group, you know, it's sometimes hard to tell. And the counselors will begin to identify over time, this person grew up in church and I thought they were a Christian, but they're actually not. And then all of a sudden we'll share as the counselors, we'll get together and we'll pray and we'll share and we'll talk about our youth. We'll talk about how they're doing, how our small groups are doing. And all of a sudden you'll hear this person is on. This person has life, right? It wasn't like they rose their hand in a evangelistic sermon. It's like God gave them life. And all of a sudden, you know it, and it's clear. And any of you who are parents, or any of you who know youth in our youth group, you got to pray for them. I mean, and this is really precious. It's a precious concept that you either have light or you do not. You either have new life or you do not. And going back to this slide, if light is this, and light is having Christ, if you are one of those, then you have been lit. You have new life. This verse is talking about you. You are the light of the world. You have been lit up. You've been lit. You. If you are on this call and you are not lit, you don't know what I'm talking about. And you might even think you're lit, but you're not, unless you have new life, unless you've been brought from darkness into life. Brothers and sisters, we do need to pray for the youth, because the youth is just like a pot of unbelievers. Yeah, not a pot of all unbelievers, but we get to bring in so many unbelievers who are not lit. And pray for the youth this morning, because there are many youth that are still not saved, but they're every week. And they don't have new life. They don't gravitate to, Bex and I were talking about someone yesterday in the youth group, and we were just sharing that, hey, it's just wow. Like, you can tell by the way they talk, they're not saved, and it's okay. I mean, it's not okay from the perspective that they don't have eternal salvation, They don't have new life, but we really pray for this, for these youth, because we want them to be lit with the light of Christ. But if this is you, then Jesus has placed his name on you. Jesus has brought life into your life. He has brought you out of, we'll see the verse later again, brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and placed you in the kingdom of light. There's only two kingdoms that exist. And if we go back to the youth analogy, there's either youth that are in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of light. That's it. And if you are in the kingdom of light and he has lit you up and his light reflects in you, can you believe that his plan is to shine his light into the world through you? That is his plan. There's no other plan. There's no plan B. I just want you guys to know that this morning. There's no other plan. There's no other way for the darkness to receive the light except through you. That's his plan, right? There's no plan B, right? So I wanted to show this because I showed this last week. And I said that this, I was thinking about a dishwasher because this says you, Jesus's proclamation is that the ordinary Christian, not the highly educated theologian, not the pastor, not just the pastor, not just the highly educated theologian, not just the missionary, but you, the very ordinary Christian, even the Christian who's not well-read in the Bible or philosophy or not even well-educated in the Bible, if you have life, new life from Christ, you, believe it or not, know and understand more about life than the most knowledgeable people in the world who do not have Christ. Would you believe that this dishwasher, and I said this last week, you know, this dishwasher just reminds me of me because my dishwashing area at the pizza shop that I worked at when I was in high school, it looked very similar to this. And I could imagine myself as this person, just this Asian Cantonese looking person. I don't know why I think she looks Cantonese, but maybe a different hairstyle, or maybe my hair was a little longer than that. But I could imagine myself here in high school, with life. Can you imagine that if you, an ordinary Christian, if someone like Mark Zuckerberg does not have Christ, someone as successful as him, if he does not have Christ, that you, even if you are just a young high school student who has a new life, can you believe that you know more and understand more about life than Mark or Bill, right? Or any other great, successful businessman or scholar or a medical expert in the world that you actually know more about life than them? So I have a discussion question here. Daniel will split us up into groups of four, and just for 5 minutes, how do you react to this? If your identity is being the light of Christ to the world, that God's plan is to use you, you are light because of Christ. You have something that our buddy Mark and Bill and whoever else, Elon, right? All these folks, you have something that they do not have. You know more about life than they do. And how do you personally react to that? And then the question is, why might this be hard for some Christians to believe? Right? So go ahead and discuss this in your group. Take a picture if you need the question. And then Daniel, split us up for just, 4 or 5 minutes, okay? And we'll come back. So, what do you guys think? Julia, how about you? How do you react to your identity being the light of the Christ to the world? How do you guys react to that?
I just share in my group and then saying that every Saturday fellowship and then Sunday Bible study is kind of a weekly renewal of our understanding of God's word, and then just put God's word in your heart, and then so we can apply God's love through our lives, like even a small little bit love that we spread it to the world or our family, our friends, and then each one of us multiplies. So yeah, God's glory, yeah.
Great. Okay, good. Anyone else in your groups? Why do you think that this might be hard for some Christians to believe, or how do you guys react? You know, what did you guys talk about in your small groups? I'm gonna take a look at everybody here. I'm gonna just call on people. On my screen. You guys ready? Anybody going to share? All right. This is not the shy class. Let's go. I'm going to just go to my bottom right of my screen. Okay. That's Jonathan Chin.
He's always at the bottom right of
your screen. He is. I guess that's what happens when you don't turn on your screen. You know, Jonathan Chin, you're at the bottom right. So, Johnny.
That's great.
Lily mentioned about, like, the light being how, like, how she used to feel like a small birthday candle. And I thought that in the same way, like, not a small birthday candle, but, like, living out your life as, like, in the light. You're, like...
You're tiny.
Right. In a sense. I mean, I guess... You're tiny, but like with, you know, if you put yourself with other believers, you know, you guys just like more and more light, and it's like, you know, less and less darkness.
Ooh, that's and a neat just picture.
Like working together, I guess. It's like that painted a picture in my mind, like more candles, you know, because most birthday cakes, most people put like multiple candles.
Right.
So it makes it, you know, brighter. The more. Yeah. That's what came to mind.
That's interesting. So how does that resonate with you, John? Like to know that there's other candles with you.
I feel like a lot of times what clouds my mind is like, am I doing enough? But
right.
You know, like that's like what I figured. It's like not a good mindset for me. 'Cause like,
right.
Even as a human, I can never do enough. Because that's why God had to send Jesus down, because like we can never do enough.
Right.
But you know, when I feel like I'm falling, or you know, I need to pick myself back up, I don't always have to be the one to pick myself up.
Right.
I have other people who, you know, if God places like my closest buddies around me and those closest guys point out what I'm doing wrong, then I'm probably doing something wrong. And you know, just like as sort of accountability within you and like your other friends and believers.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you for sharing that. That's a lot. I think I wasn't even thinking about that, you know, just the fact that we are not light alone, right? This is a you plural, right? So this is a y'all are the light of the world. Right. Yeah. Fascinating. Great point, John. Thank you for sharing that. Even when I was, thinking about this and even as I was talking about the youth, right. You know, you can hear from John's one of our youth, you know, and you can hear life there. Right. There's a real relationship with Christ going on there. And, you know, when I hear someone like John share and I think about the other youth that I was talking about that are not connected with Christ and are not in the kingdom of light, I don't know about you, but my heart breaks. I feel pain inside of my heart when I think about the youth that are not connected with Christ, who are not in the light, right? You know, as much as I'm encouraged by John, it breaks my heart when I think about the ones that are not. And when they speak, there's not that, you don't hear, and it's not only gauged by what they say, right? But you know, if and when they don't have Christ, it's heartbreaking. Is it heartbreaking for you? That there are people who actually are willing to come to be a part of, because it's not their church, right? They're willing to become a part of, like, sit with the church, dial in on a Zoom meeting and be with us, and they're not in the light. That's fascinating. Number one, that they are here. And number two, do we have that sense that we are called to be light to them? Right. And what a picture it is, you know, John, you said it was Lily. Lily, did you have any other thoughts to that, you know, from your group?
To carry on that birthday candle thing, like, mm-hmm. usually, like John said, it's more than one candle, right?
Yeah.
And as a new Christian, you get puffed out very easily.
Yeah.
Right. But then on a birthday cake, if one candle goes puffed out, right, you take another candle and you light it up.
Yeah, good.
The one next to it or something, right? So that's one. The other one is Jonathan also shared a very good point. But he didn't say it just now. So I'll say it for him.
I like that. See, I like how you guys share each other's comments. That's good.
Yeah. So he was trying to explain the second part of the question because I had a hard time understanding it. Mm. And I didn't understand why it might be hard for some Christians to believe that they are the light.
Yeah, right. So,
and Jonathan was able to share that maybe they don't feel capable.
Right.
And that feeling, it's hard to overcome if they don't feel that they're enough.
Right.
That they can't do it.
Yeah. We were talking, my wife and I, yesterday about, my wife, you guys know Bex, it sounds so formal. I was talking to Bex yesterday about, you know, CJ is now one, you know, he had a chance to pitch for his team, and he's been, you know, whatever sports season he's in, he'll work on that, right? And so he's been, I can't always pitch with him, so I set something up in the back, and, you know, he's pitching into a milk crate, you know, set up on a chair with a towel in front of it, and he just goes at it. He could just keep going at it. And when we watch our kids play, you know, what Bex and I have learned to do is kind of learn to observe other parents. And I, you know, we like to cheer on and give encouraging phrases to the other kids. And we've noticed that there are some parents that all they do is they never affirm their kids, but they always criticize their kids. They only shout out to their child what they're doing wrong and not what they're doing well. I'm not sure what it is. And don't say it's an Asian family, because it's not, you know, it's, you know, I see it across the board. And I think when Lily shared that, it made me think about that a lot of times, our identity is getting formed a lot of times by words or our parents. And sometimes it could be very discouraging if we only hear what we're doing wrong, right? Or even John says, sometimes, yeah, our friends got to tell us what we do wrong. We don't always hear what we're doing right, though, right? Or doing well. I think Jesus is making a declaration for us of our identity. And he's affirming that in us. He's telling us, you are the light. You have my life in you. And I could almost hear the perfect parent, because none of us are perfect parents, nor do we have perfect parents. So we don't have the right balance of affirmation and criticism. I won't speak of my own upbringing, but it wasn't perfect either. But here is the balance where Christ is affirming in us, you are the light. It's almost like, let me tell you something, kiddo. The world is so dark, not everyone has a light, and you bring the light. You're a light bringer, you know? And when like the candle picture, when you're together, you guys shine something really bright, and you're going to need each other too, right? But I almost hear here, Jesus saying, you're the light in a world of darkness that needs you. And Jesus is saying, I've given you my light. I've given you my life because the world needs you so much. Right? It is hard for some Christians to believe because we don't talk about these identity concepts very often. This is an identity statement. Jesus is declaring an identity over us. You are salt. You are light. Don't think any different. This is you. And it doesn't mean you're a perfect light. You know, if I take the moon analogy, which is not perfect again, there's only a few days of the month where the moon is fully reflecting the sun. Most of the time, the moon is not fully reflecting the sun. It's only a portion, right? That's why we see half moon or quarter moon or whatever, right? You're not always fully reflecting the sun. It doesn't mean you're not reflecting the sun. The only time you're not reflecting the sun is when there's an eclipse, right? So I think it's okay. I think the point, though, here for us to gravitate to and understand is that there's a lot of people not in the light. You know, I think about the youth group example, and that just came to my mind this morning when Bex and I talk about the youth who we think are not saved and we think that are not in the light. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I don't know if it does to you. You know, if you are someone of light today and you think about people not in the light, does it just create a sorrow in your heart? I want us to read a couple verses here, all right? So here's just a few verses. Let me see.
Alex, can I say something real quick?
Yes, I can't hear. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you ask that question, I think I struggle with my inadequacies in this world, you know, my vessel, you know, has been either, you know, gone through a lot in this world. Mm-hmm. So that's why sometimes it's difficult to focus on that we are the light. But I really like this birthday candle thing because the truth is it's okay to embrace my inadequacies because, and that's why we need each other, because as Jonathan and Lily are sharing, Jonathan sees something else. His light sees something else. And Lily's light sees something else. And that's why—
You mean their mind. Their mind sees something else, right? What does that mean?
I think, like, they brought different things to answer the question.
Yes, right.
You know, and so instead of me focusing on my inadequacies, I could be like, why can't I think the way Jonathan thinks, or why can't I think the way Lily thinks,
right?
And that's what I think the enemy sometimes torments me. You know, like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you function?
Oh yeah.
You know, that way, and instead, like, when they're talking about this birthday candle, I'm like, you know what? Like, that's why we need each other, because we have different things. Mm-hmm. And that we, you know, are able to bring into the world different, like to show the light, you know, instead of being focused on our inadequacies.
Thank you for your, thank you for sharing so honestly. That's, you know, what you guys are sharing this morning is very hard to share. Thank you for sharing that, Susie. I think there's deception. There is right, and that deception comes from the evil one. He wants to be, you know, the enemy of God wants to be an extinguisher, right? I think that's why John shared in moments he feels I'm you know, what's my effect? I'm not, you know, I mean, I'm going through some pretty bad times. Like, you know, how am I supposed to be the light? I do think that there are, you know, that's why I asked that question. I do think that there are a lot of believers who struggle with this concept. Like, how can I be light? I mean, I don't even feel like my life is very bright, right? I think you mentioned the candle how you were blessed by the analogy of all the multiple candles together on a birthday cake. Absolutely, we need one another, right? To be able to shine. I think that's why Jesus even said, you know, by your love for one another, the way you love one another as people of the light, then the world will know you belong to me, right? I think there is a definite horizontal relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters. I've even used an example a lot of times with our youth, you know, but I don't think they understand it because, you know, I talk about, you know, charcoal and a barbecue, you know, anybody who does a real man's barbecue, right, or has been at least trained in a real man's barbecue knows charcoal, or at least you've seen the picture of charcoal in a barbecue. And I grew up doing that with my dad. And every now and then, you know, you have this pile of charcoal that's burning nice and hot. But if you find one charcoal that kind of rolled off to the side by itself, you'll find that charcoal's not burning really hot, right? It starts to cool down because it's not within the pile, right? So I think what you guys are sharing is true. We need one another in that sense. I want to also connect us though, because our source of life and our source of light is ultimately Christ, and Christ uses one another, but we have that. I think it is hard for us to believe. I think there are many times, Susie, as you've shared, you get deceived and you feel I got issues. You know, how can I be the light? I went through that this week. You know, there are days that I went through where I'm like, how can I be an effective person for the Lord? I mean, I got all types of issues going on with myself. I think let's not forget that there is an extinguishing nature. Not that the enemy can fully extinguish us, but I think the enemy of God wants to diminish light. That's the whole goal. I know that if the Lord is working at our church, I shared our prayer meeting, if we see the Spirit of God at work at all in the church, you better bet that the enemy is going to be on movement here. If God wants to use you in your life and God is working in your life, you better bet that the enemy sees that as well and wants to prevent the lightness, the lightiness that you have, right? You better bet that. You better know that. Not bet, right? But you better know that. I experienced that. The more God is working in someone's life, and the more someone is willing to be worked on by God and be reflective of the light, you better know, you better expect. The Bible tells us that you better expect that there's going to be you know, greater spiritual warfare in that sense. Because he wants to render us less useful for our purpose. Right? I'm going to skip a few slides for a second here. But I did want to say that, you know, if we look at these verses, these are promises. Number one, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his beloved son. There is only two kingdoms. That's what Colossians is saying. There's only the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and we've been transferred out. For the rest, who are not in the kingdom of light, although they knew God, they don't honor him as God or give thanks to him. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I wanted to make this statement because when we live in a world of news and philosophies, and we ask the question, what's wrong with the world around us? What's wrong with the people who we work with? What's wrong with the friends at my school who are non-Christians? What's wrong with all the problems that we see around us? And I think sometimes we need to back away from listening to all the pundits and all the news analysis and even the movements. I'll say even the movements that we see in the world to try to make the world a better place. When we think about the question, what's wrong with the world around us? The struggles of the world around us are way deeper than political issues. The struggle of the world around us is way deeper than racism and race issues. It's way deeper than BLM or the people who fight the cause for educational reform or mental health needs, which are all important, economical issues. The issues of the world's darkness is way deeper than all of these things. We have to remember this, right? The issue is that the capacity for people to desire what is truly good, that capacity to desire what is truly good has gone bad. You guys with me? It's gone corrupt. It's decayed, right? Think about it for yourself. When you were in sin, when you were in darkness, you desire the things that you shouldn't desire. You want things that you shouldn't want. You are moved by things that shouldn't move you. You purpose after things that you shouldn't purpose after. You know what that is? What drives the darkness in the world? It's deeper than just politics or race or education. It's the issue of the heart. The heart has been darkened by sin. It's a heart problem, right? The problem is not let's fix the race issue, even though it's not a bad cause. The problem is that there's a sin issue that lies behind that, right? And so when we think about this concept of evangelism or bringing the gospel out, it's fundamentally a heart issue because you know and I know that we can't once and for all solve a lot of these world issues. In fact, when you think about the people around us who need Christ, we can't even fundamentally do the heart issue. We can't do heart surgery the way that God does. Even if we think about the youth example earlier, I've known for all these years, I can share the gospel, I can live out the gospel, I can preach the word and love these young people, but I can't make one of the youth have new life. I cannot do that because that's a heart issue. You guys with me? right? I wanted to just lead us to this for a second, because in this passage, verse 14, 15, 16, even though I can sense where the class needs to hear some things, I want to make sure we do cover some of these concepts, because this identity issue is part of that struggle, right? We know the world's in darkness. We know people need light. But we struggle sometimes even with our identity as people of light. Maybe we forget how much Jesus has shown his light into us. You know, even on your darkest days, what Susie was talking about, I think we all need an affirmation, a reminder that wow, I mean, today sucked, but I have new life. I have the life of Christ in me. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm a child of God. Maybe we need to be careful of being the parent around our fellow Christians who's always criticizing, right? I think constructive criticism is important, right? Don't get me wrong, but maybe we spend too much time criticizing one another and pointing out only wrongs, and maybe not enough time like telling one of the kids on the team, like, man, that was a good kick. That was a good hit. You did great. That was, man, you're doing good. You have life in you. You know, God's working in you. That's an identity issue. I think sometimes we lose sight of our identity. But also in this passage, there's a thrust of Jesus telling us then we got to be who we are. It doesn't say because you're perfectly complete in who you are. There's a calling to just be who you are. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, right? I'm going to read the rest of the verses. And feel free to open up your annotation tool and just make some observations. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's just camp on that for a while. Feel free to just open up your annotation tool and highlight anything that stands out. I'll give you guys a minute. Okay, no one's annotating, that's okay. Or can I not see it? I'll open up my tool here. Use my fingers. Yeah, there you go. I'll use blue. I like that, okay. Hey, there you go. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like the text notes there. Permanently built there. There's a lot of identity concepts here that I think may help us as we struggle in understanding our role as a light. I love that Jesus infers that there is a brightness to us already, right? So going back to just Susie and John and Lily's comment, or Lily said she needed to understand that, right? But like, I resonate with people who I don't feel very brightly. I don't feel like a great, let's use it in some common nomenclature, I don't feel like a great witness, a great testimony. I don't think I'm a great model of a Christian. If you know that you are light and you have the life of Christ, notice that Jesus doesn't say, because of all of your brokenness and all of your issues that you struggle with, you're not as bright anymore. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that because you had a really rough past or a really rough week. Like I had a couple moments this week, I think is a little rough for me. Jesus doesn't say, because you're kind of you might feel messed up and the enemy is attacking you and your flesh sometimes wins the day, that you are not shining anymore. He just says, you are the light of the world, right? You, again, are the light of the world. The world, if someone can write the text there, right? Or the text that I would put is, the world needs you. No matter how messed up of a light you feel you are. A city on a hill, it cannot be hidden. This is not saying that someone's trying to hide, like, don't try to hide the city. It's just saying it can't be hidden. I like whoever wrote this. It's permanently built there. Thank you, whoever wrote that. It can't be hidden. It's not hidden. Light does what light does. It just shines. It reflects. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light, yes, to all. It gives light. Notice that light doesn't choose to give light, all right? Light doesn't say, I need to really give light, right? Light doesn't say, you know, you know, right? Light doesn't choose to be more lighty or not lighty. It's just your light. And this concept of Jesus saying this, these are rhetorical statements. These are not like, so don't hide yourself under a basket, but put yourself on a stand. No, it's just your light's not meant to be hidden. Light is meant to give light to all in the house. Right? A lot of these are identity statements. They're helping us understand who we are. Right? We are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We're not hidden. The world sees us. The world may dislike us. The world may discredit us. The enemy may try to distinguish us, which theologically speaking, he cannot. But he will try to diminish us and extinguish us. But the quality of light is that it is light. You know, when we tie it back to the salt example, salt gives salt. That's all it does. Salt is salty and it preserves and it has these qualities. It doesn't say the longer you are salt, the more salty you are. Or the longer you are light, and as you work through the issues of your light, the more lighty you are. You're just light. What are your guys' observations? I'll open it up to the floor.
I think it's really cool hearing the candle analogy.
Mm-hmm. You mean birthday cake? Yeah, candles. Yeah.
Birthday cake, candles. And it's kind of like looking at this verse, you know, like even if it's just one candle, you're still lighting, you know, right. Even in the darkest area, the like the property of light still shines.
Yeah.
And then the cool thing about it was I was thinking about like, you know, like the whole birthday candles, like when you add more candles, you get to see the whole birthday cake. You know, imagine if you're in a dark room, as you put more candles on it, you see the bigger picture, right? I couldn't help but think, like, as you let your light shine before others, they see your good work, right? You're shining the light, but then they see Christ overall, right? That's the bigger picture. I think I was thinking to what Susan was saying, like John and Lily, they're giving a different, I say like different piece of the puzzle, right? The bigger picture is Christ, but they're giving different bits of it. And that's, you know, as we Christians give off that light, they will see Christ and give him glory.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah. I think it's fascinating for me that usually when we think of sharing the gospel, and we do see it. I mean, it says it in the Bible to proclaim the gospel, right? Proclaim. And so usually when we think of like helping people in the darkness, we think of words. We think of words. We think of, we have to say the, I can't share the gospel. I don't know all the words. I don't know the Bible enough. I don't know how to share the gospel enough. But did you notice that it talks about shining in the way that it has to do with more of your lifestyle, maybe? Maybe it's like, because it says good works, and that's a fancy old age, like kind of like Bible word, right? See your good works. But this word for good, you know, I looked it up. There's a couple words for good. There's a word that's agathos in the Greek that usually talks about good in terms of quality, like it's really good quality. And then there's another word for good called kalos, right? Kalos. And this other word for good actually talks more about beautiful. It's beautiful. So it's not about quality, it's the beauty of it. This word here, you want to take a guess what it is? It's a second one. It's kalos. It's the beauty of your activities. That word works is ergon, right? And it's like, yeah, your works, it's the activities of your life. It almost gives a picture. It's like kind of like your lifestyle, right? When the light is not necessarily your words, it does include your words. But if I could use another phrase, it might be like the beauty of your life. And notice again, he's not saying Jesus is saying the beauty of your all put together life. It's just the fact that you're saved and you have life. And God is all, you know, for John and for Susie, who, and for me, and for any of you who feel like sometimes who sense I'm not really all got it together. I put myself in that camp. And I'm very comforted to know that Jesus is not saying, because you're perfectly healed from all your past wounds, because you're all put together perfectly, therefore your perfect Christian testimony, your perfect Christian witness, you know, shines. No. He just says, let your light shine because you have light, so that the world can see the beauty of this new life that you have in you. That's it. I don't think he's asking for perfection. I don't think Jesus is expecting militancy, right? Like, hey, let's all fake it till we make it. Let's all pretend that we're super duper Christians and show the world something else that we're not. Let's just show them who we are. I don't know if this is a great example, but when a few of us had a chance to, like Pastor James and I, Frank and Rebs, because Rebs was help planning Kai and Janine's wedding. So we did the wedding and then we went to their luncheon. It was a really cool lunch. Great meat, a lot of good meat. Oh man, it was so good. And, you know, we popped off a couple of bottles of wine and Kai and Janine had, you know, like me and Bex and then Pastor James and Cindy and Rebs and Frank on one side. And then it was like, you know, and then their best man and maid of honor, and then them, and then Janine's mom, and then some of their relatives and some of their other friends over there. But you had all, like, you know, like our church people on kind of one side. And at one point, you know, if you guys know Pastor Jay, sometimes he gets a little crazy, right? I mean, he, you know, that side between friend, you know, I'm not that crazy, right? But like, you know, Frank and JJ and that side, you know, and for some reason, like I've always said that when Pastor James is around Bex, he loves to just joke, you know, like he's a total jokester. So he's joking. And this side of the table just became so loud and filled with laughter, almost obnoxiously, right? Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, JJ, dude, you're just too crazy. And there's just so much fun going on this side of the table. And I looked diagonal to me next to Janine, who sat her mom. And I know that Janine's mom is not a believer. And I was like, I wonder what her reaction is, because this side is just so ridiculously funny and loud, obnoxiously loud. And she sat there. And she was sitting on the other side of the table, but she was sitting diagonally facing this side, right? And she was holding her little glass of wine, kind of kicked back, and she had this smile on her face, beaming. She was enjoying the obnoxious, fun laughter of this side, where parts of the time I'm worried, I'm like, oh my gosh, are we even a good testimony? And I don't think there was anything to worry about. It may not have been a perfect testimony, but it was just the life of believers. And we get silly sometimes, and we laugh sometimes, and we might say things that are not perfect. Someone might have cracked a joke that was inappropriate. I don't know. I don't remember. But for some reason, it brought a big smile to Janine's mom. And when I saw Janine's mom in the middle of the lunch, I started praying for her. And I prayed that she would see the unbelievable amount of joy that is in the life of imperfect Christians. And that maybe by seeing the unbelievable joy that's in the life of some imperfect Christians, imperfect pastors, she might be drawn to the light. Someone said that last week. What's the effect of light? Is that the people in darkness, they'll be drawn to the light. They'll be drawn to the warmth of the light. And I prayed for Janine's mom for almost like, you know, I mean, it wasn't like I closed my eyes and, you know, bowed my head. I was just praying for her in my mind, in my heart for a good while. I was like, Lord, just speak into her heart right now. Just touch her heart. Let her see the life of believers imperfectly. But whoever wrote that there is true. Our life is on display. And I'm glad that sometimes, like, you know, sometimes, right? We are so free to be ourselves and enjoy ourselves. I don't think Pastor James and Cindy and Frank and Rebs in that corner were like, let's be light here. Let's really watch our testimony. Let's sit proper. And so even when I eat a piece of steak, there's no bit of food hanging off my face. I want to look perfect for them. I don't think they were thinking about that. I think they were aware, and God's already doing a work in their life, and their life's on display. I think the last phrase is that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. Janine's mom is an unbeliever who will not give glory to God. Only God can give her new life so that Janine's mom, we can pray, will one day be able to lift her hands up and give glory to God, our Father who's in heaven. And maybe the life that she saw at the end of the table, I prayed, would speak to her heart and help her. Yeah. I'm going to wrap up pretty soon. Yeah, I like this. Whoever wrote that too. Your vulnerability makes you real and connectable. Yeah, they're like John Chin today, you know, Susie, you guys are very vulnerable. Thank you for your sharing, right? It makes people very real and connectable. I don't think the testimonies were perfect that day. Any thoughts? We're going to wrap up pretty soon. I went over, broke my own rule. Any thoughts? I'm sorry, I didn't make it very dialogical today.
Okay, Jesus loves you.
Thank you, Jesus loves me. I needed to hear that. I didn't do a good job as a teacher. It was a little bit one way. What do you guys think?
My initial thought is, you know, Jesus did the same thing for us. Mm. I don't mean to be too, like, biblical in my response. But it's like Jesus did the same thing for us. Like he came down to earth, you know, like he showed his emotions. He showed sadness, sorrow, everything, every emotion that we feel, right? So that he can be relatable to us, I feel like. And, you know, so we don't have to feel like we don't have to feel like Jesus is so unattainable, like this,
right? Or being light is so unattainable, right? Yes.
Yeah, that receiving salvation has to be so hard to get, right? To receive. To me, it's like, you know, knowing that Jesus can relate to me, I feel that, you know, salvation through him is attainable. It's not this like high and mighty, you know, like Jesus is the king, right? And it's so hard to receive the salvation, right? But it's not that hard. I don't know if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
because Jesus came down and he made himself so relatable to us. That we are able to, you know, not be so afraid to receive him. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. That was on the cusp of someone writing, you know, your vulnerability makes you real and connectable. So I just, that just triggered that thought for me.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, any other thoughts? My last just question for you guys is, I can't work this. I'm drawing. It's okay. Who cares? Okay, very cool. Any other thoughts? I'm gonna just wrap up here. Anybody have a burden to pray for us? Maybe you don't have to have a burden.
I'll pray.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lily.
Abba, Father, we thank you that you are our Father, and you are the one that that gives us light so that we can shine before others. Mm. Lord, you have given us this identity, and may we hold fast to it, that we are the light. There is no debate about it. Mm. We are the light. Whether we're dim light or bright light, that light comes from you. Mm. It's not that within our own strength that we can do anything about the light.
Yes.
But all we need to do, Lord, is to just live our life according to your precepts, according to your commands, according to your words. A life that we don't hide our light, that when somebody needs us, when they want to talk to us, when they need help, that we just open up and do it.
Hmm.
But Lord, we also must do things according to your will, Lord.
Hmm.
As we read in the Durano, a lady came to Jesus asking for help, and he just kept walking, and she kept pleading.
Hmm.
But you know, in your kingdom, there's so many people that needs help. We can't help everybody. We need your permission, because all the power comes from you.
Right.
All the wisdom comes from you.
Mm.
All our resources comes from you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, if you want us to do something, we pray, Lord, that you grant us the ability to do so, because we are not able. We are not able to have the right words, the right wisdom, or the right capability on our own. And we can only have that through you.
Amen.
And we need only realize that we're just an instrument, Lord, a vessel, and that we need to be just useful instruments and useful vessels for you. We pray, Lord, that you continue to encourage us this week, help us to practice it and put it in motion, and help our light to shine. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. All right, guys. Thank you so much.